I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Light me up another cigarette. We can sit out back and prophesize the night. I will hold a candle to whatever makes you burn. We can dance, but not too close and not too fast. And I will always hold a place for you.
Sarah Blacker is a singer and songwriter from Boston, Massachusetts, who spends a lot of time on the road, bringing her unique blend of acoustic rock, folk, and jazz to audiences all around the country. She's no stranger to Central Pennsylvania or the Woodstove House. She has been a previous guest on the program and performed at the last two My Rural Radio Fall Fests in Southern York County. In May 2011, Sarah performed at a Woodstove House concert in support of her latest album, Come What May. We sat down before the show to talk about her creative process and dig into some of the stories behind the songs on the record. Well, joining me in the Wood Stove House is Sarah Blacker. Welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Welcome back to Lancaster and the Wood Stove House. And you're here to perform at a Wood Stove House concert.
I'm thrilled.
We couldn't be more excited to have you. And you've been spending a lot of time in Central Pennsylvania, which we'll get to later. But it's great. I think when you were here last time on the program, you mentioned Pennsylvania as being the land of opportunity, which made us both chuckle. But it's turning out to be one of those places that you've found some great opportunities. So that's really
Absolutely.
Exciting. But what I'd like to talk about is this brand new album, Come What May, which has been in my CD player, on my iPod, I guess, really, for a few weeks. And it's just remarkable. It's an outstanding album. Really blew me away.
Thank you.
I want to start first with the production of this album because it is phenomenal. Let's talk about how you made the record, who produced it, and where it was recorded.
Sure. So this record, the fellow who mixed my first record, Sean McLaughlin, who has been my bassist since I released my first record.
Okay.
So he's, at this point, probably one of my best friends in the whole world. We know each other inside and out, and almost instinctually at this point. So I wanted to record with him because I wanted an edgier, quirkier approach to my song presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first album, I think really presented the songs very pristine and organic. And I was really, really happy with it. But this album, I wanted to be more along the lines of something that might be comparable to like Feist or Regina Spektor or even Ray LaMontagne or Beck. Those were sort of our sonic template.
Wow, okay.
For the production sounds.
Where was it recorded?
It was recorded at 37 Foot Productions in Rockland, Mass. And that's Sean's studio. It's really cool. It's in an old art mill building.
Oh, wow.
And we had several different drummers, different bassists. It was all kind of friends and in the family who came in to play on it.
Okay.
I brought in about 60 songs. We narrowed it down to 30, and then it was like down to, 15, and then it really became this harrowing, narrowing,
right,
picking experience for the 12.
You always deal in mass quantities of music. I remember talking about this last time.
Yeah.
That's great to be that prolific and just have all these songs to choose from. It really,
It's like a back catalog. But at this point, because I've been traveling and touring so much, I haven't been able to do as much writing. So the next record, I may have a slimmer selection.
Well, maybe it'll make it easier, if nothing else.
It could.
To choose. It's a very cohesive sounding album to me. Like compared to the first album from 2009, the only Way Out Is Through.
Mm-hmm.
Compared, that to me was a collection of songs.
Okay.
And it was, each one was sort of an island. There were a few things that connected, but when I first listened to this album, it was an album, and it really came across that way. And what's so interesting about it is there are so many different instruments that pop up and little surprises that happen throughout the album, but it all sounds like one album with very few exceptions to that. Was that an intentional thing in the process?
Yes, sonically, yes. We picked songs that you know, I don't write in specifically one style. I think what ties it together is the way that I write and the vocal performance that I exert.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think absolutely. We wanted a cohesive album, and the songs sort of tell a story. I was just talking to the Boston Globe about, you know, the way that old records and 60s and 70s songwriters used to write a whole album. They wouldn't just reveal, you know, two singles and those would be what everybody knew them by.
Right.
It was a whole collection, a cohesive unit that told a story. So we were definitely going for that with this album. And I was thinking along the lines too, you know, like Tom Waits, he writes a bunch of different songs, but each song really features an instrument,
mm-hmm.
an exciting color that gets brought in. So for example, Knock the Winds had the trumpet, which is totally unexpected, but yeah, I mean, we really blended sounds and approaches to the production from song to song.
Let's get into some of the songs. You mentioned Knock the Winds, which is the second song on the album. And the other thing that I really found about this album compared to the other songs that I was familiar with from you is a lot. This album has a lot more pop, and there are a lot more hooks.
Mm-hmm.
This one in particular
mm-hmm.
felt poppy and you know, just really, really good in that regard. That's a good thing to me.
Yeah.
Can you dig into the song a little bit, particularly the chorus and maybe the story behind the song?
Sure. Well, the metaphor of knocking the winds out of something or somebody dates back to when I was in elementary school. I always was on the parallel bars that they used to have at the playground. But,
right.
you know, kids would get up there and dive off and spin over and under and around and on the monkey bars, and nobody was watching. So almost every day I'd have the winds knocked out of me. And I remember that feeling so vividly. But this song tells the story of me writing a song for someone I was dating. And it was a love song, and it was a very optimistic song, which I don't always write. But I presented it to them and I said, I wrote this song for you. I'm really excited to share it with you. I'm going to play it for you. And I was so nervous. And I finished and they go, wow, that song's really different than your other songs.
Hmm.
And I was like, that's it? That's all you have to say? Like, someone writes you a song and pours their heart out to you and tells you how much they care, and that's all you can come up with? And then he got mad at me and it turned into this whole fight. And it was awful. And I just felt like so many times in this relationship, I'd get my hopes up and I'd get really excited to just be and just to share an experience with this person. But their responses were never what I expected, which I guess you're not supposed to have expectations in relationships anyway, but...
Well, it can, yeah.
Yeah.
Do what it did.
Right. So the feeling was that same feeling from my childhood over and over again.
Wow.
Smooth sweep, you shook the earth beneath me. Who made you king? Who set you free? You armed yourself with all of my allergies. You made me sneeze, you salt and peppered me, and ingested the heat. And then you knocked the winds right out. Carbon copy of all the rest, then a shooting I know if hearts can ever, ever mend. You claim to know everything well. Who's in the pews for you, reverend? It's always one if there's another. Jacob's letter's brother. Armor suits and scorn, except when we're alone. Right out of me.
somewhere else again. When you knock the winds right out of me, you knock the winds right out of me. But who knows where or what? Be careful with the ones you want to keep. Your arms contaminate the air, so be soft.
Circle back to the to driving,
okay,
because it's the opening track and it's such a great way to open this album. I think it sets the tone for the whole record, energetic and driving, and there's this delightful pedal steel in the background, and coupled with these moody guitar tracks that they're those highway at night guitar sounds.
Yep.
You know, when you hear those songs that make you think you're driving through the desert, you know, really fast, maybe in a convertible.
Yep.
So it's a great opener. How much of this of the sounds that you end up with on a record like this are things you imagine and visualize coming into the studio, and how much of it is created while you're in the studio playing with things?
I would say as much as 50-50.
Really?
Because a lot of times I just, you know, or at least the way I used to write was I just write and write and write and write.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have all these songs and I'd play them in different arrangements with different people. So when I got to the studio, I had sort of a picture of what I wanted it to sound like. But it was absolutely a combination of the producer and I bouncing ideas off of each other. The pedal steel, I heard country-ish sounds on mm-hmm. the song, but it really went very country, and I wasn't sure about that at first. But it became like the underbelly, sort of this like string section, as opposed to like a really twangy.
Yeah, right.
Sound.
It's not honky tonk.
No.
It stays pop.
It's dreamy.
it's definitely dreamy. There's some really interesting lyrics, and I'd like to have you, if you could, tell me a little bit about the colors, especially the bridge,
because mm-hmm.
that's my favorite part of this track is the bridge.
Yep.
The dynamics where it comes down, you sing a little bit, and then it just shoots off, it just soars.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some references there's references to color throughout the song, but particularly mm-hmm. in that bridge, things get black before they get gray, and then they get black again. They might get white, so try as you may to keep on driving. Can you dig into that a little bit, where
sure.
that's coming from?
Well, that's pretty much life. I mean, you hit rock bottom, and then you might take a couple steps up.
Okay.
Then you hit rock bottom again, and then things get a little bit clearer, and then maybe you make it through and you see what you were missing the whole time. I may have even talked about this last time, but I always feel like when you crash land, it's kind of like those dodecahedron bouncy balls.
Hmm.
Have you ever seen those?
No.
Multicolored? You throw them down, and they go in like a completely different trajectory each time. And I feel like that's what happens every time you fall down, because you never get up the same way.
No.
And if you do, you're completely insane, right? You keep trying the same thing over and over.
Right, again. Exactly.
So you gotta struggle.
Keep on driving, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or at least try to. That's what the song's about, because sometimes you can't. Sometimes you get stuck in the mud. Must have been driving through it all, trying everything at least once, but oh, every time the beauty crept, oh, linked an even easier way to get back. Driving with a lead foot through it
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is Sarah Blacker, Boston-area singer-songwriter, whose latest album is called Come What May. The next song I'd like to talk about is When I Was New. This is another really pop-rock-sounding song, and it's got that elevated hook in the chorus. I'm a real sucker for that. I mean, that just, when I hear good songs that have these driving verses, and then they just sort of take off and soar during the chorus, I just get sucked right in. I guess what I was interested about this particular song and this style of song for you is how hard it is, or if it's difficult to go back to playing solo. Because I know when you tour, you're by yourself, mm-hmm. and these songs are really full of energy the way that they're produced on the album. What's it like to go back and play those songs on the road by yourself?
It's like being under a microscope.
Yeah.
It's funny, I was just telling someone the other night, usually when I leave for tour, like the kickoff show, I'll be with my band. Mm. And then the next night, I'm like, where'd they go? And so I just pretend like they're there for the first couple shows, and then I get into the groove of playing solo. But this album does have a lot of drum backing to
yeah.
it, which typically I only play with a trio live. And I don't know, we kind of have a really strong rhythmic bass that doesn't require a drum.
Mm.
Always. Or yeah. all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So only sometimes we do play with a drummer.
But when you're solo, mm-hmm. is it hard to play the songs that are more rock or upbeat on the records? Or is it because maybe they came from that place?
I think only difficult when I'm not feeling high energy or when my voice isn't as strong. Because when you've got a band, you can blend
sure.
a bit more.
Yeah.
And when I'm solo, you know, I just have to draw the energy from within myself.
It's all you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes me colder and we still are miles apart. I know somewhere in the city someone has a heart. Where am I if I can't get to you? My keys don't fit the lock, still I'm trying to feel at home. I know somewhere in the city someone else feels so alone. But where
Come What May is the title track, and it floats, you know, it really floats. It's a phrase that brings about like a sense of surrender, mm-hmm. right? And you reference this phrase later in the album.
You really listen. I'm impressed.
I love music. later on in Humble Man,
yep.
that's referenced. I wasn't sure if it was referenced elsewhere, but that's where I really
mm-hmm.
heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about the inspiration behind it? And first of all, using that phrase and then naming the record that, is there a theme or a thread that's tying that together that make sense?
Well, I think being an artist and being a passionate person, you can't control your surroundings. I think you just let them go. And you have to sort of surrender and everything's always changing and you're changing with them. And you know, a lot of intense changes have happened in my life. I don't know if it's because I'm a Capricorn and I'm ruled by the planet Saturn, which is apparently the planet of change, but I don't know. I do have a lot of things happen really quickly within my life, and a lot of them are intense.
Mm.
So this record happened upon the fall of the house that I grew up in, and that's what that song's about. So it was a lot of really... it's sort of growing up and getting comfortable in the unknown and watching everything that's familiar to you fall away.
Yeah.
And just realizing that you gotta just keep going. You gotta keep driving. You gotta stand tall no matter what happens. And, you know, it's a difficult thing to do. Again, I'm playing solo, you know. Come what may, I have to get up there and tell my stories.
Right.
Because I want to, not because someone's telling me to. But definitely no matter what happens, you just have to keep on going.
The builder man, he took a stand, he came and took it all away. Why, memories are in the air, and emptiness prevailed to stay. Come what may, come what may, I will live again. The privacy did secrets keep until you caught me in the act. My sorrow when your words revealed a poison hand upon my back. Come what may, on walls I'd meditate to holy heights, on backyard swings and rooftop rings of Saturday and stars at night. Come what may, come what may, I will live again. Oh, come what may, come what may,
talk about the Shining Giant. I think sonically this is one track from the album that stands out to me musically. There's electric guitar throughout the whole song that I really like, the vocal performance, especially in the chorus. I think it's the chorus part. I wasn't really sure how it broke down, but there's at the end of each verse there's some really really emotional vocals. There's a tension there that that I really really like. And at times I feel like it's getting ready to explode, and kind of does and kind of doesn't until the end. It gets pretty energetic.
Yep.
But I'm not really sure what the song is about. Can you tell me the story behind the meaning behind the song?
Sure. Well, it's watching, again, it's watching what you thought you knew fall away, the whole thing. And in this case, it was who you thought someone was, what they were to the environment that we were both living in, and what we were to each other. I think falling out of love is the basic way to say it. But, you know, a shining giant, this person was somebody that I perceived to be somebody who they were not. And they were this shining, beautiful gem. And once I started to get to know the gem, the sheen wore off. And I really got hurt in a lot of ways by this person's actions and their, I guess, inconsideration, but also because I made myself so vulnerable and I set myself up to be in this situation and think certain things and feel certain things. And I learned a lot from this person, but there were a lot of really hard lessons. And I think pulling away from them was a really hard thing.
You're like a shining giant in the eyes of this town. I wondered what it might take for your walls to come falling. Yeah. I may be one bad catalyst for what uncharted your course, but perhaps you found freedom from the greatest of warlords. But what if I don't love you now? What if I can't remember how to love?
my head's got me believing every fear that I might feel. Like what if I don't love you now? What if I can't remember how to?
So you've been in central Pennsylvania now for a few days working on something with our friends at My Rural Radio.
Yep.
Can you talk about what's been going on down there?
Sure. They're filming a documentary to begin a TV series called, and their band is called American Holler. So it's a TV series. There's A-roll and B-roll. The A-roll is live performance footage at the Boondocks Club. We taped it last night. It was full lights, full sound, HD video, really beautiful setting. And then we're going to do interview footage and, you know, just some B-roll, sort of having fun and interview and goofing around. And it will be released in the upcoming months.
Okay.
Details you can ask Mike Mails further for that. And other than that, I've just been doing some stuff with the local papers and a couple different venues and just having fun, enjoying Central PA.
All right. Well, I'll make sure to link up to all that stuff in the show notes of the podcast as well.
Awesome.
Well, thanks so much for being here, first of all, to play a Woodstove House concert.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me.
And second of all, to take some time to talk about this great new record, come what may.
Of course.
Everybody needs to go out and buy this record and put it safely in whatever electronic device they use to listen to music these days. Sarah Blacker is a Boston-area singer-songwriter who frequently visits central Pennsylvania while touring the country. Check her tour schedule at sarahblacker.com, and don't miss her when she visits a town near you. Her latest album, Come What May, is available at all shows or online at CD Baby, iTunes, and Amazon. You can also link up with Sarah at woodstovehouse.com, where you can find show notes, listen to past episodes, subscribe to the show via iTunes, or leave feedback. Around the Woodstove is a production of the Woodstove House. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.